All right. We are now back into our work session after coming out of our closed session at 5:38. And we are now, I need a motion to go into regular session.
I so move.
Anne has moved that we go into regular session.
Second.
Seconded by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We are now in our regular meeting. And we are going to take action on, do we need to do these individually?
I know. If you want to, I don't think it's necessary, but if you want to.
Want you to do it all three. We have it as separate items, but I think we can just do it with
one motion.
Okay. I would entertain a motion on taking action on the classified negotiations, the license negotiations, and the administrator negotiations.
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Connie, Jim, motions made by, or motion first by Jim, seconded by Connie. Any discussion? I'll do that in the end. Oh, yes, that.
In the motion.
Oh, in the motion. It has, it's just an action.
Action on ratification.
Okay.
I would draw my second.
Thank you very much.
I will draw my first.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, we need a motion to ratify the negotiations between from our classified personnel, our licensed personnel, and our administrative personnel.
So moved.
Second.
Perfect. Motion was made by Jim, seconded by Connie. Any discussion about that?
I guess my only discussion would be a combination to the IBB team, and I appreciate that each association was given an equal share, you know, depending on the number of employees you represent, and that each of you were able to take it to your association and decide what was best for your association. And I think that's a really good way to do it, is to divide things equitably and then let your association get the input and make those decisions. I think that's a major step forward because each group has different needs. So a combination of the IBB team would like to do that.
And I'm also very grateful that we're doing this in June and not in September or October. So it's great to be able to have negotiations done and that they move on and start on with a fresh foot and look forward to a fantastic year. So.
And I'm a thank you. And the same to Elsa and to Eric. All three presidents worked hard at the facilitation of their own groups. It was a good process. And appreciate Zane and all the work that he did, and Suzanne. A lot of work moving into this to keep them make it work.
Very nice.
Very nice feeling.
Okay, that said, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Our negotiations for this year are completed. Yay!
Would you like a little bit of feedback?
We would love feedback.
To just point out, and we talked about this a little bit, something that I don't think anybody's not aware of, but to give you some numbers behind that and maybe at least my commentary and those that I work with, our leadership and our support, that's what those numbers mean. We ratified through the needs of a Survey Monkey. We sent out a vote and gave members over a week's time to vote on ratification. Our response was 1/3 of our members. Better than the presidential election, but be as it may, that's what it was. In years past, when we've gotten whatever our response has been, the ratification has been closer to the 90 percentile. This year, it was almost 73%, 72.7% was the response in the positive. That we go ahead and ratify. And that's certainly enough for us to do that and to feel comfortable in doing that. But with that, at the same time, it shows that there are some concerns. And those concerns were were voiced in the ratification process as we held our public meetings, as we interacted and talked with individual teachers and the concerns that they had. There were positive comments that were made. Specifically, there were 12 comments that were made, and of those 12, there were 4 that were very positive, and the others addressed very directly those concerns that we had. And the other piece of the IBB process that Ann spoke to very well and that we certainly agree with is that we can move forward with that process. And those concerns are the first items on the agenda as we begin that process again, or continue that process, I think is a better word for it, when we do that in the fall. So, now with that said, I want to let you know that that's where we're at and that's what we're working towards. And our goal is before school gets out.
We're actually, we finished on the 20th, it was our last IBB meeting, and it took some time for the cleanup. And we need to finish by the 13th, 14th, in order to have cleanup done before last day of school. Because it got a little crazy right there at the end. So it would allow us a little bit more time. If this means up front, we have to be a little bit more concise. We believe we had some language documents that we thought we would have gotten done earlier and we didn't. So our goal as we facilitate next year is to really work hard to getting all those done no later than January, so that we really are in the heat of it. We're just working on the financial end of it and not having to deal with both balls up in the air, because that was hard at the end to try to, we got really well and focused in our financial, and all of a sudden we were having to do language stuff at the same time. So I think that's a lesson learned for this year, that we just have to be a little more stringent on our taskmaster, to move it a little bit more, that we get those done. And we had good intentions last year. We did. But it was a great, it's been a great process, great discussions all the way through the year. And we did some significant changes. In my mind, they are beneficial for our employees.
So is what you're saying is that the future goal would be that we would have language items cleared up prior to the financial aspects kicking in?
Before
so then once the financial budget comes in,
we know. Let's be honest, the goal is before January.
Do you know what we used to negotiate a long time ago? What they used to do is that between the district and the association, at least for the teachers, is that you would do the same thing, you know, the language and whatever, but you would say, okay, well, we'll take your language if you will give us this money or whatever. You know, you try to change language and money. It was crazy.
And we're trying to keep
keeping them separate, I think.
Having the standards that we had and following those.
Yeah.
We were pretty diligent on following process, I felt this year, and we learned a lot. And
we'll have to have Alma there again next year.
It is amazing to me how different the language changes from year to year. You would think that the language wouldn't change much, but it's always amazing how, you know, there definitely are changes in language.
Come back and look at something from the 90s.
Yeah, well, and even, you know, from year to year, it's just amazing how.
Yeah. So part of that is sometimes just keeping up the state law.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
we appreciate what
thank
you do
for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for making the exception for me. I appreciate that very, very much. We will move forward and be ready to go in August.
Yay. And we'll see you at our August board meeting. August. Whatever
that is. 17th. How about?
And if you want to see me before that, I'll be teaching at the high school or something.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, I love that program. Yeah. Very good.
We appreciate that. That's the other thing I'm supposed to be here for tonight, but I'm going to take care of what you said.
Okay. Awesome.
Have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you guys. Same here.
Okay, that's our only action item under our regular meeting, so I will suggest joining the motion board back into the work session.
Just say
okay. All right, now we're going back into our work session. We're going to go to work session item number 8, back to that, which is discussion on the budget.
Marshall's the budget.
Sure.
It says your name right here.
It does say, yes.
Name.
And it you know what else? It has your signature right there.
We have Stacy pushed out to you, like, something to talk to you in the budget.
Was that in the new board book?
Yes.
All right, I'll have to go do that.
Unless you want a hard copy.
You have hard copies of
that? I do a hard copy right now, and then, because I saved mine and.
I have to write it over. Thank you.
I have it on my.
Yeah, I have. You don't get one. I can go online and do it.
I have one more here, some more one.
I will just go.
I promise I'll leave it. Okay. Now, let's see if I can get mine to. Okay. Let me look at your hard copy. I've got it upside.
Rotate, yeah.
Rotate it on my.
Mine is under tools. Oh, yours is.
Mine's a different toy.
We've been having technical problems today.
Can you please? I haven't learned how to.
He's using the non.
Yeah. Okay, Connie, can I share?
Oh, you can have it.
Here, do you want to
have it? Because
this is a tentative summary budget.
No,
but
no.
Which one are we on? Because I'm going to it now. I'm going with.
Okay, so one looks like this.
Okay, I'm going online. What is it called?
It's called the tentative summary budget.
Okay, that's what I need to know.
So the first page you see there is just a one page at a glance look at our budget. You can see by fund. You'll notice if you're thinking of last year, there is no fund 23 this year. That's all been rolled into fund 10 now. So we just have our M&L fund. We have our student activities fund, our debt service account, our capital outlay account, and our food service account. The student activity fund, that is the money that is collected, and it's basically what's in the checking accounts of all of the schools. And most of the money is in the high school and the middle school.
Did you say fund 21?
Fund 21. So there's. That's how much money, over $1 million a year, is collected by the schools and expended by the schools every year. The debt service account is the fund from which we pay our bonds off. So our debt service every year, our mortgage payment, if you will, is about $2 million a year. Our capital outlay budget is the fund from which we make all our capital expenditures, our maintenance department, our payroll and salaries run through there. But any cost of construction, most of the capital equipment that we buy for computers and things like that is coming out of Fund 32. The utilities that we pay, a lot of them are coming out of Fund 10, not Fund 32. But everything we can, we run through Fund 32. Fund 49 is a separate fund, and that's our food service operations. And so you can see that's about a $3 million a year enterprise. We collect money for lunch sales. We get money from the state for food service. And most of the money we get in our food services account is federal money. And we get an exceptional amount because we have high free and reduced lunch counts. And those federal reimbursements are actually more than what we charge our students for lunch. So that works out to our advantage. This year, and frankly, this sheet is going to be updated a little bit. We'll talk a bit about it later. But there are tax levies associated with each one of these funds. So most of the tax revenue that we collect is going into Fund 10. The state school basic levy is set by the state. We have our voted local levy, which is the levy that we're proposing to have increased when we go to the taxpayers this fall. The statutory limit on that rate is 0.0016. Ours right now is at just over half of the limit. And then our board local levy has a statutory cap of 0.0025. And we're almost at the cap in that one. So the levy you see right here, based on what they are for fiscal 13, we'll talk a little bit more on what the proposed levy will be next year. So you can see that in the right-hand column, if you look at all sources, 37% of the revenue we get is coming from local sources, primarily property taxes. The state funding we get is about $23 million a year. That makes up about 50% of the total, and we get about 13% of our revenue from the federal government, and a little over half, or basically three-fifths of that, is coming into the M&O account for programs like special ed and Title I. They're the big ones that eat up probably two-thirds of that federal revenue. And then food service itself bringing in about two-thirds. You can see that we have salaries of about $23 million a year being paid out in salaries. Our benefits are making up about a third of that, just over $10 million, almost $11 million. Between the two of them, you're looking at 69% of our budget is going to salaries and benefits. And then you can see the breakout going down. Now, if you just look at the M&O account, which is where most of the teachers and most of the employees are paid, you'll see that the salaries and benefits is 82% of that fund, 56% of salaries, 26% in benefits. So when you just look at that particular fund, the benefits are almost half of the salaries now. And that's because we pay a retirement rate of next year will be almost 22% of salaries for employees that are getting retirement. Our insurance costs are almost $4 million a year. And then Social Security is 7.65%. So a big chunk of the budget now is being eaten up more and more every year by benefits.
Question on that?
Yes.
A little bit off. When, and it will take a long time, but when our employees become those not covered under the Utah Retirement Act, who are more the IRA, you know, that we put it into an IRA or whatever, 401k, is that going to save us money or will it have to be the same amount?
It will, as we have more and more people go to what I call the tier two system, it doesn't cost us quite so much.
It's not required to go up so much to keep covering things.
The rate usually goes up about the same, but it's not as high a percentage.
So
it's about 3% less.
It's going to be 30 years before it really totally
changes. Before we see a total shift of that, it's going to be some time.
Okay.
As a percentage of total salaries, the percentage will start to drop a little bit, but it's still going to be 20% or so for those that are retirement eligible.
Yeah, that's on the fact that the majority of our people are still under the Tier 1 system, but anyone who's coming in that's new is tier two.
Okay.
Same. Where did you say the number for overall employees? You said it was 23. Oh, is it? Oh, I think now. Never mind. It's over on this side.
The right hand side.
Okay, the other question I have is, and maybe I should know this, but once we, if we approve the levy and the bond money in November, will that money factor into next year's budget, or will it be a year from that?
Fiscal 15.
Fiscal, yeah, not this coming year, but the next.
It will not impact fiscal year 14.
So next year when we have this discussion, it will play into that.
And the bond could. If we issue, if we get permission in May, in November, to issue bonds, and we issue bonds in the spring, that would change the capital outlay and our debt service.
And so we would amend the budget to do so, correct?
But not the levy.
That money's not acquired by the county until November. So
that's property tax. That's just the property tax, which is the levy. The bond money is issuance through
another thing, but it still has to be paid by. I guess that's true. Because you would have
you wouldn't
the bond is approved. The debt payment wouldn't be due until after you've got money in November.
Yeah, and you don't kick in the debt schedule until after the first of July.
Okay, but the levy money would be, if it passes, it would go into next year's budget, even though. Would we get the money?
The levy would not go into next year's budget.
Oh, be the next year.
It depends on what you call next year.
Fiscal year 15.
Not this one that we're
looking
at.
This is fiscal year 14, which is what we're the year coming up.
Right.
So it'll be
next year.
July 1st, 2014 is the first.
A year from now.
A year from now, we would be then having an additional amount under here for the voting levy.
Even though the people wouldn't be paying their property tax money until November after we approve the budget.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
It's confusing.
So if you flip the page, you can see a summary by fund and compare it with the fiscal 12 actual. The proposed final budget for the current year and the tentative budget for next year, and then the change is the difference between 2014 and 2013. So the FY12, those are actual numbers, and this is still a work in progress, but and if I can refine these between now and next Tuesday, I will. So these are not in concrete, but they're pretty close. I haven't changed anything really as far as the revenue goes, and that's one thing I've got to nail down. I finally got today information from the county on where our property tax valuation is. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, based on what you see, and the other thing what you need to understand when I'm budgeting, I want to be very conservative on the revenue side as well as the expenditure. So what that means is I'm trying to lowball the revenue guess and highball the expenditure guess, so that when we have our audit, we come in either over budget on revenue, that's okay. But we want to come in under budget on expenditures, or else I get a letter from the state office, and we don't want to do that if we can help it. So you'll notice that based on what you see, this will end the 2013 year with about a $4.8 million fund balance, and based on this tentative budget, we'll end 2014. With about a $3.4 million surplus for fund balance. Which is going down.
Which I don't like.
Neither do I.
So you what?
I'm still trying to refine revenue.
You're looking at final budget.
We won't know until October what that is. When we were coming into this from the last year, the tentative, the final budget for 2012 also showed.
Okay.
And if you'll notice what we ended up with, we ended up with.
So we thought that we would have more like the $3 million.
Yes.
That we were saying the fund balance beginning from the prior year. We were planning on about the same.
Right.
And so again, you're looking at about the same back to 2012 is what you are planning for.
Right.
But that
what you plan for
is what happens.
You hope for.
Yeah.
Then there's what happens.
But do we have any idea of what's going to happen with sequestration money? Is that final?
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do.
And that affects our Title I budget by about $200,000 in special ed. And we're both affected by about
8%. 8.8%, yeah, a little over 8%. But the
bulk of the
services
to handle this coming year. We're able to get by. We're not increasing services, but we're not having to limit
surplus in our budget,
we have enough surplus in both to be able to handle one year to be able to make a bridge until we know exactly what we're
without
doing.
Cutting any progress.
There will be some reductions, slight reductions, but it's not to be an 8% reduction.
Okay.
But I like the fact that it's a positive number.
We like it too.
If you look at Fund 21, it's hard to have a handle on what's going on out at the schools at this point in the year, but we think that the fund balances will stay pretty steady. They pretty much spend what they collect, and so I have no worries about Fund 21. Our debt service fund, we levy what we need to spend. There's a modest surplus in that fund. Any money in that fund has to go to pay debt service. So, one advantage is the accumulating balance is better.
You want to share the bond sale from us?
Okay. While we're on Fund 31, let me pass you one of these out. Christy from Disneyland got to listen in. We had our refunding of our debt, or bond refinancing. We had about $6.4 million that we were able to refinance. And that went exceptionally well. We knew we were going to save a lot of money, but the final, let's just go to section 4, if you will. Well, no, let's don't. Let's go to section 1, and I want to show you some things. If you look at the summary of bids, on the very first page, we had a lot of people bid on these bonds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 companies. You'll notice the TIC bid, which TIC means true interest cost. Okay? So the true interest cost, we were able to refinance this debt at 1.086%. And we've been paying about 4.
Wow.
So, it was like 3.8%. So about 4. So what that means, if you go back to section 4 now and go to page 9 of section 4, you'll notice it says gross debt service comparison right here. So if you look at the below the table there, you'll see gross PV debt service savings. That's $857,000. Total cash contribution we bring to the table, $55,000. That's interest that we've got to pay. That's the debt service we have to pay. And anyway, the net present value savings is over $800,000 over the next 6 years.
Which is a 12.44%. And instead of hitting over, what, 3% in savings?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, they started hitting me up 2 years ago about refinancing because we can save, like, 3%. Yeah, but if we wait, I know. Anyway.
By waiting, we would by waiting, 12% in savings.
So, anyway.
At our rating.
I don't know how we could have been any better. Well, we were able to maintain the bond rating. Marshall, Kirstie, and I, we'll talk about that another time, too, but we met with the Moody's rating agency in San Francisco. Pretty cool experience to go and sit down with the analyst and make a sales pitch on behalf of Logan School District. It's frankly an honor to be able to pitch a district like Logan School District. There was a lot of good things to say. Our bond rating was reduced a couple of years because of our fund balances, and we're able to show some positive direction, you know, positive growth in that direction, which they acknowledged. It wasn't enough to increase our rating back because of there are a few other factors that we don't have any control over, like the economy and what's going on in Logan City proper, some things like that. But we have a very solid rating, and it's a good rating, and they encourage us to keep making better. Included in this document is the rating agency report. If you want to see what Moody's had to say about it, that's in section 5. And you can, as you go through there, on that first page, it talks about some of the strengths. We've got a good local economy anchored by presence of the university and some good manufacturing and healthcare entities. Our recently improved reserve levels were acknowledged. We have a relatively low debt profile with a rapid payout. If, you know, nothing changes, we'll have this paid off in 6 years. Talks about the challenges. We still have reserve levels that remain somewhat low relative to our peers. So, again, we're going to try to work on that. And, you know, things like our low household wealth measures, we can't do too much. What could make the rating move up? And they talked about those things. So again, significant improvement in socioeconomic measures. We don't have a lot to say about that. A trend of significant improvement in the district's financial position. So hopefully we just got, we're on a good track. We hope to maintain that track. And they've also identified what could cause it to go down some more. But it is still a good rating. I don't think we have anything to feel bad about. So I thought that was well worth the time and the money that trip was. So it was a good experience. So anyway, I felt really good about it. I don't know how we could have done any better.
What that does is allow, that's not reflected here, but will be reflected by next week, is if you will sharpen numbers in the debt service part, we can only levy what it is we need to pay out. So with this reduction, that's one of the calculations that needs to be done as we look at the overall debt service.
But it will include the $55,000, correct? That will need to...
That $55,000 is actually coming this
year. Oh, really? So that will show in this year's audit report with a note that he will talk about why we had that expense. Okay.
And it will be something we'll even notice for our
Mike came in and we'll do right about it. He really well. So we just acknowledge it up front and it'll be good.
Tom's picking on me. Will you do something about that?
As you go to the next, we're looking at capital projects.
Fund 32, that talks about the capital projects for next year. You'll notice on page
This is page 4 of 6.
Page 4 of 6. And I'm looking at the line that shows the 400 in the left. So
purchase property services.
So you'll notice that that shows an increase in the budget of from 800,000 up to 1.4 million. Okay. And our purchase service budget is up a couple of hundred thousand. I'm anticipating that between now and this time of year next year that we will have broken ground on improvements at Logan High. I don't know how much we're going to be spending out of pocket, but I've built $1 million.
So
basically,
if we don't have the
budget towards that,
we can do something.
And we know that we're going to have some design fees.
We're going to try to do all we can to pay out of our existing funds as much as we can.
So we don't have to borrow any more than we need
to.
That's
good.
But we know that we're going to have expenditures on that project, assuming the bond passes. And so I've accounted for some of those in here. Assuming the passage of the bond, if we need to borrow more money, we'll be able to do that before the end of this fiscal year coming up. And that will show as a revenue source under other financing sources. So if you look at in the bottom there, right below the, you see the 1.1 million or 1.120 that was a negative. That was a transfer in M&O last year, remember? Well, if we issue bonds, that'll be a positive number for whatever
that's what we'll show
as a revenue source for next year. So we decided to hold off on that. I don't think we should issue any more than we need to before we need to when it comes to that. So we'll be able to talk about that. If you flip over to
with the issuance of the new bond, 6.5.
No, that's...
I'm sorry, I'm going back. I'm taking my head back to this conversation.
It's high on debt service, current debt service.
Yeah, but if we wanted to pay off, is that loan payable early at this point?
No.
It's not callable early.
No.
You have to open the whole thing.
Yeah, until
2019.
Yeah. And then the last there is the food service fund, and you can just see... basically what's on the summary, but you got your three-year comparison there. I talked to food service director. And these numbers will change a little bit between now and next Tuesday.
And remember that in fiscal year 12, that fund balance ending, we were admonished by the state for having too much money in there. So we have been spending money on capital equipment pretty heavily. Last year, we'll lose some this year, but that budget, as you can see, is going down so that we are more in line with what we should be.
Does that factor in that we're going to be offering school breakfast to all students?
Yeah.
Because that will certainly have an impact.
Yeah, Paul and I talked about that. We know there'll be some more food costs. We know that there'll be maybe some revenue increase, depends.
Which is one of the reasons why the revenue is a little higher.
I've had discussions with him today that affect these a little bit, but not very much.
And so when you say that they're going to, it will be both the final budget for 13 and the tentative budget for 14, as you get more firm numbers, correct?
Yeah.
They both could change.
By next Tuesday, the fiscal 13 budget needs to be fixed. That will be what it is, because that's the final. And the tentative, hopefully, will be more refined at that point.
Actual will come out in October when we do the auditing process.
Right.
But the back to breakfast, Will we get any federal funding for offering?
Yes.
Or will? Which is why, if you look at the federal funding going up, that's an anticipation of
more
of some of that. We just don't know.
We just don't know for sure how that's going to look. So.
And they don't have to qualify for free and reduced lunch to get free breakfast.
Correct.
The very last page is just a summary of all the funds. And that lines up with the last column on this page. So that's a look at budget as we're talking right now. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, if you close the file that you're in, and open up the proposed tax rate worksheet.
Is that a copy of capital request?
No.
No? Okay. I'm not sure.
But it's the one above that.
Okay.
And I've got a hard copy of that if you want to.
This one's actually, I can read it because it's stored in the right way, so I don't need one.
Maybe Dennis would like a copy. Okay. So I was able to get on the county website or on the State Tax Commission website today. It looks like these are still preliminary, but it looks like they're going to stick. So what this sheet does is kind of summarizes the tax rates, compares it with the fiscal 13 actual, the certified tax rate, which is the first that you see shaded in green there. The simple definition of the certified tax rate is that rate, which all things being equal, will generate the same revenues we had this year. And so you have over there on the far left, I'm showing you which fund the money goes into, what the budget type is, what the statutory limit for each of these levies is, and then what it's proposed to be. You'll notice that the proposed tax rate valuation this year is up about a little less than 0.5% from what it was last year, but it's not, at least it didn't go down. So it's a little bit of an increase. So the way it works, just as a reminder, as the tax value goes up, the certified rate will drop. If the tax rate, the tax value drops, the certified rate increases so that the revenue stays the same, all things being equal. So you'll notice that our certified rate this year is 0.008224, which is less than the fiscal 13 tax rate by 0.006. Well, it's actually less by whatever that difference is, not by much. The main reason that's going down has to do with the certified tax rate valuation, but you'll notice the GO debt payments levy is 1146 instead of 1188, and that's taking into account the savings in the debt. We won't have to assess as much. We don't need as much money to pay the debt service because of the savings on the interest. So that's going down some. The others are just barely. So if you go to the proposed tax rate at this point for next year, we're talking about a rate of 0.008224, which is a little less than the 0.008285 that we had last year.
Same, just so you know, on this one, it still says the school year 13 next year.
I know, I need to correct that. Good catch.
What we're proposing is to stay with, in the past, we have normally kept the rate the same as the year prior, which is would require proof of taxation.
Speak up, Marshall.
Oh,
no.
We normally have left the rate, kept the rate that we had the year prior, which would usually mean we'd have to have a proof of taxation hearing in August. Our recommendation to you at this point is that we go with the certified tax rate. And so we would not go through proof of taxation. And therefore, because of that, there would be a reduction in, as you can see down at the bottom, it's not a large amount, but there is a small amount that would be less than 50 cents a month, but it is a reduction.
And it shows that we try to be responsive to our citizens.
We do not believe it would impact negatively our programs, but as we are going out to the public in November for the levy, to do both the truth of taxation and going out, we think is not necessarily fair to our public.
And definitely one more thing. So,
we are looking at a little change within that. If you'll notice, between our capital and our M&O, which is the voter levy, $5,200, almost $5,300. Again, putting as much money as we can into the area where we have for salaries. So that's just a small change. It's really minor when you look at the amount of money we're looking at.
We have flexibility with the certified tax rate of increasing capital, decreasing board local levy, or whatever. We can't mess with the state basic levy. The other thing we need to remember is that 1651 basic school levy is set by the state.
And they haven't set it yet.
And they haven't set it yet. So that could be more or less. By the time we have our hearing, usually we'll know sometime next week what that rate's going to be.
Because the last one, then will we go through to the taxation?
No, because we're keeping
it. It would just reduce our overall tax rate again. You know, remember when you get your property tax notice, you actually see the state basic levy and then the school district levy, which is why I showed this basic or rate net of the basic rate. So that's what you'll see is the school district levy, is the 6573.
So we don't know what that will do. If it goes up, that means we have to lower, in order to keep at the certified tax rate, we will keep at the certified tax rate. And if that changes,
the basic rate will be what changes our rate.
Right.
If the school district rate, we propose that to be the 6573. The states will be whatever it is, and it could be more or less than the 8224 one combined with ours.
So how can you move the 52 from capital to the voted? I thought once it's in capital, it can't move to voted.
No, what we're doing, what we're moving is we have the ability to move our rates. So we're low. What we're saying, we're proposing to lower the amount that we're in capital by 5,200 and increase the voter levy because we're not.
So we haven't approved it yet, so we can change things around.
Sorry.
That's not a transfer of funds, it's just a change in the rate.
In the way that the levy. I'm like, how does that work?
I know there was legislation that we could use this year, we could use capital for M&O.
Only if you were a small district.
Oh, okay. Then we are not considered
lost. You had to have enrollment of less than 25 insurance.
Okay. Well, I knew there was something.
There was one more year grant for doing that for districts.
Okay. Well, I think it's why, but we're not doing that anyway, especially with having the bond election. But I just wanted to check on that. But we no longer have to do that 10% of basic thing either, right? Because of our combination of funds.
Right.
Okay.
One thing I need some feedback on you. While we're on this topic, we're getting ready to refund our municipal building authority bonds. There's about $4.9 million of that.
Woodrow Project.
That's what's left of that. We had the flexibility under the current arrangement to increase our principal payment by $250,000 a year up to that if we wanted to. And we've been able to do that the last 4 years, which is saving us money in the long run. Well, under the refinance arrangement, I have to choose, or let's put it this way, we have the choice of just paying that debt off over 8 years. And at that case, in that case, our interest rate would be like 2.15%. Or I can choose to pay it off over the balance of the 13 that are left. We have 13 years left on the bonds if we didn't refinance them. and build in the flexibility to pay the extra $250 a year or not. Either way, we pay them off sooner, but to go with the 13-year payoff with the option, the interest rate is going to be like 2.59%. So it's about a half a percent savings, not quite, if we make the commitment that we're going to pay it off in 8. I'm just wondering how you feel about that. We're talking about $250,000 a year. Committing to do it and getting it over with in 8 years, or having the flexibility to use that $250,000 for other things if you want to, or pay the debt off. And the cost of doing that's about one less than half a percent. I need to give them some direction in this by tomorrow. Do you have any feelings one way or the other about that?
What is your preference?
I don't know that I have one. I mean, I like the flexibility, but I like saving the interest too. So a half a percent is not
good. We are refinancing regardless, but one would be over 2.1% and one's at 2.5%.
And one's eight, one's up to 13.
With the ability to do the extra.
We can still do the extra, and we're basically committing to doing it.
We're going to have it done in 8. We don't give extra. The 13, we would still have the ability to pay it down and possibly get it paid off in 8, but it would be at a 2.5% rate versus the
2.1%.
Less than half a percent, I mean, so.
Which is how much?
Well, 1% on $4 million, that's $40,000.
Is flexibility worth $40,000 a year?
I think given our situation and what we're doing with the high school, it makes some sense to leave yourself the flexibility in case you want to spend $250,000 for new desk for the
second. New desk for
To do some furniture that is 21st century.
Right.
But again, we have that built into the 3545 that includes FF&E, but it could allow for us paying some things off in cash versus having it so that we're putting it towards
or the buying a parking lot or a
house or that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the flexibility is good. I mean, tentatively, I told them.
Yeah, 2.5 is still a darn good rate.
Mm-hmm. It saves us 2% in any case.
So is that a decision we have to go into the NBA?
No, I'm just asking for some.
In the future, what the...
Next week, we will be having to do the refinancing, start the paperwork, as an NBA as well as the board. So we'll be going back and forth next week.
I'm soliciting your input if you have any feelings one way or the other. If you don't have any strong feelings, I'm inclined to say go with the 13-year payoff with the option.
Okay. I like that personally.
Okay. So if you don't have any question on the property tax rate, there was one other. Thing to look at, and that is the capital request for the next year. The board has traditionally looked over the list of capital requests. It's actually, let's see, Stacy.
Do you have a hard copy of that thing, or is that still
on? Oh, there it is. No, it's there. I don't have a hard copy of that. Now, what we usually do, what we did is we have our help desk where employees, you know, principals and stuff can go out. And whenever we have any kind of a maintenance issue or something's broke or something, they go through our online help desk to notify the maintenance department that they have this issue, and the maintenance department can put it on their schedule. We use that for them to submit their capital request, and we have it set up so that they can put in what it is they want to do. That's the subject. A category option is what are we talking about doing, who submitted the request. The note is the detail of what it is they're asking to do. And then we let the principals go through and rank the level of priority. Number one being, is it critical and is it a safety issue? Number two being, is we need this as soon as possible. Number three is we need this, but it's not an urgent thing. And then number four is, it'd be nice, but it's not necessary or not essential. So we take those requests, and Don and I go through them, and we put our own weighting on it based on his assessment of the thing. And that, you'll see, is what's in green. And then to the right of that, you'll see an estimated cost. What we've done the last few years is we've tried to do what we need to do with regards to carpet requests, wherever they were. And if there were things like roofing or asphalt, we tried to take care of those things. And then anything that was rated as a critical safety issue, we tried to make it a point to do that and take care of as many as the number two things as we could. And if we got around to it, we take care of the threes. And the number fours, we just haven't worried about. So if you add all this up this year, we're talking less than $200,000, and there's money that we would build into the capital budget to do this. So
how do those requests factor into the building
facilities
plan? Do you ever look at that to compare?
Yeah, and so if you look at, well, if you go down and look at, like, the look on page 3, I guess, and I'm looking at the request from Logan High, lecture table relocated, room remodel. And if you go over, they put it's a priority 4, nice, not essential. And you'll notice Don and I put not planning to do this because it's going to be knocked down or remodeled, and we're not going to mess with it.
Obviously, remember, our biggest focus right now for the summer is the additional cafeteria space at Logan High School. So that's not on here, but that has already been started. And we're working on that. Most of what you'll see that Juani is, I mean, we've got some needs for some equipment out there. One of the things that's not on here, I talked to Zane, I thought they'd gotten it in, but they did not. Mount Logan would like to look at, for safety reasons, a way to have, and we look at their entry for people coming in so that there's a safer process in there. Right now, when you're walking by, there's no way for them to see. There's nobody to see who's walking in and out. But that may take some time.
I just don't see us being able to do anything between now. That's something like we're going to...
Something like
the cafeteria where we've got plans already made, and as soon as
we may have, out, we may be able to do
jump on
the design work on that, but we will not be able to do any construction on that probably until fiscal year 15. Mm-hmm.
And what's the thing at Logan High School that built 2 timeout booths?
That's for the severe special ed, okay, to meet the federal guidelines.
Or unruly boards.
Right? No, that's not my
Another issue that's come up at the high school is the potential of additional repair, hopefully eventually replacement of our football field. That has come up, but it didn't come through this process, so we're trying to send it back and say,
you know, what's that going to look like? Because that's not a small ticket item, and it will take some planning. It's not something that's going to happen between now and season.
What about the bleachers?
Bleachers are already, because the bleachers were already picked, that paid for out of fiscal year 13.
What bleachers are you talking about?
Bleachers at the rec center.
Well, no, they aren't going to happen because the city's backed out. They're not doing it.
What?
So.
No bleachers?
What bleachers are you going to ask?
We need to talk about whether we want to do that without them. But because they decided that wasn't going to be a priority for them, and so they're not very going to participate in it. I'm not going to pay for them, at least without some discussion about it. So.
Those bleachers are in pretty sad shape.
It's terrible.
About a $250,000 gig.
I'd like to have further discussion with them as to why that they've not.
The city's just not budgeted for it, so. I think we need to have that discussion this year. But that's, yeah, it's not going to happen. We did get a proposal from one company. I mean, Russ got the proposal and sent it to me, too. If we decide we want to do it, I guess that's our prerogative. I'm sure the city would love for us to just do it.
We can do it and then have that as our commitment over the next couple of years. And they come up with some of theirs all the time.
We probably need to sit down and do it.
They're not safe. They're breaking and...
They know they're not ADA compliant.
If we're going to try to get more and more people to go to our games and our activities over there, mm-hmm. we've got to have safety measures.
Yeah. What cost?
$250,000.
Are you talking about both sides?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, when we have that meeting, that would also be a good time to talk more about First South and what we need to do there. Because we've
got to
have that.
So unless you have any consternation about what you're seeing on the capital thing, we would just throw that on the consent agenda for next week.
Will you please look into the safety of the bleachers and see what it would take and why, you know, what needs to be done there?
Who would determine, you know, like, should they be condemned? Who would determine that they're totally unsafe?
It's not that they're totally unsafe. They just don't. I mean, if you could put those in today, today's standards.
There's some broken parts. They're hard to fix.
Yes.
You know, they don't push back like they used to push back. I mean, there's just, they're old. But I think they're the original.
I mean, it's not like they're going to collapse on anybody.
No.
They're about 38 years old.
I would think the biggest problem would be people would get hurt.
Getting in and out, yeah.
So that's what I was going to say.
There's no stairway that you can easily get up enough to go on the bleacher part.
If they're unsafe and a liability, then, you know, should something happen, then we...
At this point, it's another one of those projects that if you're going to do that, then, like, the day school's out, you got to coordinate it. Things got to be... It's going to take all summer to do it.
Because you've got to take over that gym, and then PE can't be there.
Yeah. So... If we want to do that, I think we should look at that for next summer. So if you're agreed, then that's what we'll do with that. And I don't have anything else to add to this discussion unless you guys have other questions.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, the only thing I would add is just architectural services for review at the middle school for safety for their entrance, and that's, that would be just an addition. We do the review of that, we do the instruction, but at least we know what we're up against.
Well, is there a way that we could get that done?
That'd be designed.
How do you do that when schools? It would be something that would have to be planned for and ready to go for the summertime.
All right, any other questions for Zane and Marshall about the budget?
So next week, what you'll see for budget
you'll have a full budget. But within that budget, when you're looking at that number for capital, this is what it's tied back to. So when you're asked whether or not did you approve the capital list, you will have done that through the approval of the fiscal forecast.
You'll notice the swings at Hillcrest are not a big priority.
Never have been. Don't bring it up, Zane. Don't even bring it up. I already looked at that.
That's why we have the timeout ring for you.
I need the timeout ring. I'm like, when is that ever going to be approved? It was approved, by the way. It was sized white.
It was taken into a different
direction. So really, when you look
into
at
a much better thing,
you're going to look at Adam's curtains, and really what we're approving is Adam's chalkboard. I'm just joking. That's sort of very quick. Okay. Any other questions for Zeta Marshall? All right, board members, I would like to suggest that we go into closed session right now since our attorney is here, Nate, to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, as well as pending or reasonably imminent litigation. And I will need a motion for that.
So moved.
Moved by Ann, seconded by Connie.
I can't give up there. You're sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need a voice vote. Jim?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Ann?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
The time is 6:44, and we are going into closed session. Yes.
Please, there's.
Do you want to come in?